We were in the tour in Siman Sadiches, and I think we had just finished Os Aleph. Okay, and I think we spoke about the issues, and the shitos were when do you need a kfela? Rashi says a kfela actually turns out to be a chumrah. Rashi says that when you have shishim, you still need a kfela if a kfela is available. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says you use a kfela when you manage to remove the mamashis of the iser from the mixture, but you want to know whether it left any flavor. But if you have shishim, if you have mamashis there, you need shishim, but you don't need a kfela. And the Rambam and Tosa say that kfela, shishim is essentially irrelevant if you have kfela. Kfela can be matir for you even if there is less than shishim in the iser keneged the heter. Okay. So now, starting Os Beis, Ben Sion, do you have... By the way, if anybody doesn't... Is anybody still missing a tour in Shulchan Aruch? Don't have one yet? Have you ordered? Do we need to try to get some type of an order in? In the meantime, I can help you, Shulchan Aruch. I have a text. It's copied from the Bar Ilan. You can get it offline, or you can get it online through the library. I can send it to you. The text of the Simanim, or the tour in the Beis Yosef, I have it. In fact, it's not a habit. It's on the Google Drive. It's in the folder. I didn't put Shulchan Aruch there, but I put the Torah and Beis Yosef, all of Hilchos Taruvos there. What's that? What? Oh, is that Hil Novetsky's?
Yeah.
Oh, he has a tour there?
That's funny.
Okay. Fine. Any of that. So I just have a digital copy from the treadmill, from running on the treadmill, that I copied out that I could use. So you can get the Bar Ilan yourself from the library. It's free to you. If you want, I can give you the copied out version. It doesn't matter. So if you don't have one. But there are numerous places available. But ideally, you'll have a safer in front of you. Except, I know, Zach, you like the computer version. Okay, you're the cheating way now. Okay. So let's start with Os Beis. Ben Sion, are you 1, 2, 3 from Zachary's thing? Go ahead. Where is everybody, by the way? Okay, go ahead. Bain in this Arev.
Bain in this Arev, you serve a heter, mimimino, kigon, chalav.
Chalav.
Bain in the Shemino, kigon, chalav, the toast, receive shiro, vishishi.
Okay.
1/60th of his mimimino or mimimino.
Right. Oh, so we read this, but we'll read it quickly, and then I do want to read a part of the Beis Yosef on this piece. Go ahead. And then the Oz. Okay. So Rabbeinu Tam, so as I mentioned yesterday in Shir, this is not Rabbeinu Tam's Shita. This is Rabbeinu Chaim's Shita. Rabbeinu Tam says that if you can taste the flavor in the mixture, then even if you don't have Kezias Betoch Tadchiel's process in Issa D'Oraisa, we explained how Rabbeinu Tam tortured reading of the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu Tam says once you can taste the Isser, it's mamish, all the heter turns into Isser, eat a kazayis of it, yoloka. Rabbeinu Chaim is the position that the Torah here is conflating with Rabbeinu Tam. If we take a look at the bottom, I'll read, because of Harashba, I don't know how you're thinking, but in Os Beis, there's a Kus of Harashba Shadas Ramban. So he says, you guys have that? Koflam and Gimel on the new, in your version of the, your version of this Shulchan Aruch, which is supposed to be the same as mine and isn't. The Kasa Varashba, Shadas Haramban Kaperish Rashi, V'chindas Haranzal, Varashba Kasa, Shaharai Bet Sover Karabenu Tam Ki Ikud Araisa, Min B'Shein Omino, Nishokain Das Harab Al Halachos, Ubisotvarav Kosav in Psak Halacha, Anuami Nismoch, Bova Nismoch, Ativer Ben Tam, Berizal, Uba Halachas, Arabic, Shirabim, Umr Lahak, Mimashotora, Adkan the Shalom. Now, just a note here. This is, comes up in the Shach. How does the Rashba paskin? Like Rabbeinu Tam or like Rashi? First, the answer that simple. Who does he paskin like? Rabbeinu Tam. So let me ask you a question. Based upon his formulation, does he really paskin like Rabbeinu Tam? Or is it just out of suffix, an effect? The language is a little bit odd. Bo v'nismoch al. And normally, first thing, when you're somech al somebody, what does that mean? No. Adarabba. When you say someone is a bar samcha, means they can be relied upon. When you say we're somech al, what does that imply about the nature of this ruling?
If they weren't
their
usual otherwise?
No. That it's lakula. You could be somech upon the... So he comes and says, "Bo amin nismoch, nismoch al," and he picks the chomer shita. So the question is this really? Is he just a funny formulation, and he really holds like Rabbeinu Tam, or is he be machmir misafik? But it's a safik, really. Why do I raise this? Because the Trumas Hadeshin, there's a long shach. I'm not going to read inside. I think it's Os Hay maybe. Where I think I mentioned this yesterday when we spoke about Mesiach Lefitumo. The Gemara in Nivama says that you cannot rely upon a non-Jew, even Mesiach Lefitumo, except for by Edus Isha, by Nisa Doraisa. So the Shach's question is, how can you rely upon a Kfela, the way many Rishonim say, a non-Kfela, a Goy, Mesiach Lefitumo, how can you rely upon that if it's in Safek Isa Doraisa, and it's not Edus Isha, it's not about allowing a woman to remarry in the death of her husband? So that was the Shach's question. He wasn't the first one to ask the question. Trumas Hadeshin already asked the question. And I think in reference to the Rashba, the Rashba who says that a non-kfeila goy is believed, Mesiach Lefitumo, Trumas Hadeshin says, maybe he holds like, maybe those who accept Mesiach Lefitumo hold like Rashi that Tam Ki'ikar is only Drabbanan. So when you're asking the guy to taste the food, you know that there's Bittul and Amasher, so they only shy this. Can you taste it? So maybe those Rishonim who say you can rely upon a guy, Mesiach Lefitumo, are assuming like Rashi. The only problem is the Trumas Hadeshin is talking about the Rashba. How does the Rashba paskin? How does he paskin? Like Rabbeinu Tam. So what are you going to do? So the Shach says, and don't tell me that the Rashba is only being noted based, he quotes this language. That there is something funny in the language of the Rashba, something unexpected, but it would appear that the Rashba, he paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. By the way, not thrown in the list, but obviously on Rashi's side, you also have the Rambam. Okay. So now the Beis Yosef continues. No, I'm reading, not you.
Sorry.
I'm the Beis Yosef. You're reading the Torah. Okay, so then he says, we're going to skip over the quotation. Where do I want to skip to? Well, Rambam. It's not in any particular stopping point. But for Rambam Kosa, Beperek Tesva Mehilchas Macholas Asuras. It's probably not too many lines down from where I left off. Alter, do you see it? Or you can tell them where it is? On which line? On which page?
It's like right in the middle of the big chunk, all the way on the right.
Okay. What page are you on?
Kuflamid Gimel.
Okay. So v'aramam kasa beperek tesva mehilchos machalas asuras chelav aklayo shenafal letocha grisin vini moach. I know this one. You asked me what the word vini moach means. I know what it means. It means it dissolves. I have no idea what the formation of this word is. I think the root is mem ches yud, to wipe away or something like that. I have no idea what this form nimoach is. It looks like a nifal of some kind, but it looks like a nifal of mem vav ches, not a nifal of, and not even that, not a nifal of mem ches yud. Whatever. So it means to dissolve. Nimoach hakol. So you have kidney fat, which is real chelev, which falls into the beans, and it dissolves. I mean, it gets totally blended in. Tomin es hagrisin. You taste the grisin. Im l'nimsa b'hem tam chaylev, harei l'mutar. V'nimsa b'hem tam chaylev, v'haya b'hem amasho. Let's say it tastes like chaylev, and you have mamashos there. Then harei asur min haTorah. That's in Issa D'Oraisa. Nimsu b'hem tamo, v'lo haya b'hem mamasho, harei elu asur min divrei sofrim. So the Rambam says there are three possibilities when when you taste the grisim. Possibility one is you don't taste the chaylev, in which case, mutter. Possibility two is that you taste the chaylev and you also have a mashal shalisir, which he will define what that means in a minute. And what's the din if it's if you can taste the chaylev and you have a mashal shalisir? Issa daraisa. And if you have the tam of the chaylev, but you don't have mamasha, whatever that means. So the Rambam says, that's midivrei sofer, and here midivrei sofer clearly means midrabanan. So he continues. Ketzad hu mamasha, what's the definition of mamasha? It's kegon shahaya min ha-chaylev, kizayis bechol shalosh beitzim min ha-taruvis. If you have what I'll call 1/6, I think a beitz is going to be considered 2 zesim here. If you have 1/6, one kezayis within every 3 beitzim of the mixture of iser, im ochal min hagrisin ha'elu kishalosh beitzim. It's not enough to eat one kezayis at this point. You have to eat 3 kebeitzim. Why? Because when you have 3 kebeitzim, what have you had? When you have 3 kebeitzim of the taroves, how much have you? What have you eaten? 1 kezayis of iser. That 3 beitzim is definition of achilas pras. So if the Rambam says, in order to be considered that the mamashis is still there, that it's an issa daraisa, it has to be kezayis betoch tachilas pras of the iser. And if you ate less than that, what would the din be, without even seeing the Rambam? No. Because? Chatzishir. For the Rambam, when the possibility exists of eating a shir shalem, because there's a kezayis betoch tachilas pras, and if you eat a pras, you'll have eaten a kezayis of iser. So then you get malchus. If you don't eat a pras, you've eaten a chatzi shir. But once you have less than a kezayis betoch tachilas pras, there's no mamashus anymore. That's considered bittel. And now, if you taste it, that's an issa d'rabbanan of tam keeper. So the Rambam continues. V'cheinim lo haya betaroves. I'm sorry. Avopachos mishalosh beitzim. For chatzis shir, there's no malchus daraisa. I would even suggest, although I don't know if this is true, that let's say you are a master of achilas gasa, and they were that means different context. Let's say you were a master of halota. It's a word that's found in Mishnah Hebrew, and I think it might only be found in Tanakh once. Mal'itana sagamal, it's on Shabbos. You know, mal'itana sagamal is to force feed it. You stuff as much as you can in its mouth. Because you want to prepare it for the way. It's got to fatten up. You know where that word appears in Tanakh. And I don't know if it's pshat is the same meaning, but it fits beautifully the way Chazal want to see it. Esav says to Yaakov, hal'itani namin ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. So if you are a master of hal'ata, and you manage to consume 2 prasim, a kikar shalem, a pras is a chatzi kikar, pras means half. If you manage to eat 2 prasim mitocha de'achilas pras, which should be impossible, but tautologically it should be not possible, but supposing you can do that, and now you've had a kezayis of iser. It's just that the kezayis wasn't betoch 1 pras of food, it was distributed across multiple pras of food. So I think the Rambam would probably say you don't get malchus because there's no mamashus of the issue. That's only called tama. The fact that you manage to have, empirically speaking, a kezayis passed through your throat into your stomach within time doesn't actually matter because it's batel already. The mamashus is batel, it's mota minatorati. In fact, you would come up with the ridiculous possibility that minatora, I'm allowed to eat it if I eat it normally, and you just get malchus because you stuffed it down your mouth. So I don't think the Rambam would say in that case that you would get malchus. Okay. V'nira delo asi karabi nutam. It's like, I want to say when the Mishnah says v'nira delo asi karabi nutam, like, yeah, what's the chiddush there? Of course, it doesn't not like rabi nutam. Da da afal pisha inbo kezayis betoch deachas plas mitzal rabi nutam midaraisa kozmancha inbo shishi. Rabi nutam would say that if you don't have kezayis betoch deachas plas, but you just can still taste it, it's an issa daraisa as long as you don't have shishim. Now. Uveyesh bo kezayis betachilas pras namani raminutam michayev alachilas kezayis. Ula rama velo michayev ad sheochel kishalosh beitzim. So again, he's not explicit here, but Rabbeinu Tam differ with the Rambam on 2 issues. Number 1, the Rambam holds that when you have less than a kezayis betoch deachilas pras, it's mutam in a Torah. Number two, Rabbeinu Tam would say that when it's less than a kazayas betoch techilas pras, you get malchus still. The other Balei Hatosos, Rabbeinu Chaim, says no. He says that when you have kazayas betoch techilas pras, and you eat even a kazayas, you get malchus midaraisa. But when there's less than a kazayas betoch techilas pras, but you can taste it, it's asa midaraisa, because tam ke ikar, it's a new iser asay, but you don't get malchus for it, because it's only an iser asay. By the way, I don't know if I spelled this out yesterday. What is the big advantage? I've pressed to say this. What's the big advantage of Rabbeinu Chaim Shita's Rabbeinu Tam? What's the big advantage of saying that kezayis betoch, when you don't have a kezayis betoch to the achilas pras, it's an iser d'oraisa, but you don't get malchus because it's a new iser. It's called tam ki ikar. Whereas when it's kezayis betoch de achilas pras, mamasho shel iser is there. It's all iser. Heter nefach the iser, you get malchus kezayis. What's the big advantage of that over Rabbeinu Tam Shita, where Rabbeinu Tam says even less than a kezayis betoch de achilas pras, if you can taste it, it's asam in the rice, you get malchus vina kezayis. What's the big advantage? What problem does Rabbeinu Chaim solve that Rabbeinu Tam has and doesn't solve so satisfactorily? The Gemara in Abu Dazara. The Gemara that said, Tama maloma masho asr vein lokan alof, Tama mamasho asr vein lokan alof. The question is, if it's Tamo, and the Gemara says, what's called mamasho? Kezayis betocha de achilas pras. So based upon the Gemara, it sounds like if you have less than a kezayis betocha de achilas pras, you don't get malchus for it. The Gemara says it's asr, but asr can mean one of two things. What two things can asr mean? The Rabbanan Daraisa. So Rabbeinu Tam was forced to give this strained interpretation of the Gemara, that what kind of a mixture is the Gemara talking about? Min b'mino. You know why Tamo v'loma masho, you don't get Malchus, why it's not Asa Midaraisa? Because you're talking about min b'mino. And min b'mino, in order to get Malchus Midaraisa, how much Issa would you need? Rov, or Hatzi at least. The problem for Rabbeinu Tam then really becomes the next line. Tama umamasho lokan alav. What does tama umamasho mean according to the Gemara? Kezayis betoch de'achilas pras.
You'd have to say it's
rov. What's that?
You'd have to say it's rov.
Yeah. You don't get malchus for eating kezayis, tarovis where it was kezayis betoch de'achilas pras and mimbamino. Mimbamino to be usser has to be a rov or at least half of isser. Kezayis betoch de'achilas pras is not going to get you malchus. How much is kezayis betoch de'achilas pras? A sixth, an eighth, something like that. You don't get malchus for that by mimimino, because mimimino is batam on a tarbarov. So it's asim in the rabbanon until you have shishim. That's what Rabbeinu Tam's position. He gives a teretz, but it's so strained. But Rabbeinu Chaim's approach solves the problem beautifully. He says, no, of course we're talking about mimishen omino. And when you have tama umamasho, kezayis betoch de chilas pras, you've eaten the iser heter's mitzdarif the iser, or the heter's nepach the iser, you're eating a kezayis of iser mamish, you get malchus because you're eating the iser. When you don't have tama umamasho, when you only have tamo, so yes, tam ki ikar is doraisa, but you don't get malchus because it's an asay. So when the Gemara says aser in lokan lav, yes, aser midoraisa, but you don't get malchus. That's the beauty in terms of that Gemara of Rabbeinu Chaim. That's why he says what he says. Rabbeinu Tam's reading is difficult, but and as I said earlier, the Torah has conflated Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chaim because halach lemaisa doesn't matter. That both isurim doraisa that happened whether you get malchus or not is irrelevant because we don't give malchus bisman hasa. Okay. Fine. And then the Beis Yosef continues that the Rambam can hold like Rashi. And the Rambam does hold like Rashi, that Tam Ki Ikar is only the Rabbanan. Fine. And how are we going to pasken in Shulchan Aruch? Anybody. In Shulchan Aruch, we're going to pass. So the way Shulchan Aruch paskens, that Tam Ki Ikar is Doraisa. Tam Ki Ikar is Doraisa. Okay. Fine. Now you can continue to Redencia. Thank you. Thank you for your patience. Sha'ara. So what happened here, notice? Min b'mino gets mixed, you have a mixture, it gets spilled out, so now you can't figure out how much iser and heter there was. Let's say you know how much iser there was, but you can't figure out how much heter fell into. Why? Because it spilled out. This is a case where you're supposed to cry over spilled milk. So the Torah quoting the Rashba says. Nisbayer. Okay, so if you know that you had a rove of heter, then you know that midaraisa it's mutter and the only shaylas of the rabbanon, so you can say sveika daraisa, sveika the rabbanon lekula. 1 second. Two comments just about this. We say this once in doing your idea. Sveika daraisa lechumra is a machlokas the Rashba and the Rambam, whether that's daraisa. I don't know if we're going to talk about it more than that. The Rashba talks about this in the Torah Sabayis. Sveika the Rabbanon Lakula isn't always true. It's frequently not true. Why do I say it's not frequently not true? So there's a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim that says that you're supposed to, it quotes two brises. One brisa says you lean by the first two kosos. One brisa says you lean, we know you're supposed to lean only by two kosos. I mean, it's not usher, but you only need to lean by two kosas. Which two? So one brisa says one and two. One brisa says three and four. And the Gemara gives explanations why one over the other. So therefore, the Gemara says, therefore, we lean by all four. So the Ran asks a very simple question. The Ran says, why do we lean by all four? Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. So the Ran on the roof, he gives two answers. Answer number one is that you only say Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula when it's difficult to be machmir. When it's easy to be machmir, it's really almost no effort, so then we don't say Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. And the other situation, he says, which is very clever, is that you don't say Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula when the natural outcome of Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula is going to uproot the din v'adai mid'Rabbanan. Because what would happen the Leil HaSeder? We get to the first two kosos act. So do you have to do Haseba by them? What would you say? Then see, I'm going to answer the question.
You don't lead by any of them because...
When you get to the first two kosos, what do you do?
Say
Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. You get the third and fourth kosos, what do you do?
Why don't you do the easier of the two sets? Like, oh, you're feeling it,
So the answer is, when we're determining the halacha, we're not determining it upon your specific personal situation. The Ran is claiming if the natural outcome of Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula would be...
But the kula and the chumra is whether it's one and two or three and four, not whether you do it or not.
The kula, the chumra and the kula is, do you have to do a seba or do you not need to do a seba? So, Ben Sion, it's relevant. If you did Haseba by the first two kosos already, it's possible if you skip three and four, you don't have to go back, because you can say it's a Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. But you can at the outset say, I'm going to, but you might not. You might just say that this kind of Sveika would not make a lot, because the Gemara's Pesach is you need to do all four. You need to do all four, because you can't single out which two kosos you don't do it by. And if you do it by none of them, you vade were okay the din d'Rabbanan. Now, this is not the only place that we're going to say Sveika d'Rabbanan l'kula. And we have one right here. Notice what was the case of the Torah brought from the Rashba. The case was you had a mixture and it got spilled out. Why did he say it got spilled out? Why didn't he just say you had a mixture and you don't know, you're not sure how much there is.
You can taste it.
You can't, it's mendamina. So you knew there was a rove. I have no idea how much was, but I knew it was a rove. I could tell the difference. So it's from the Rashba. Why did the Rashba give that case? So there is, the Torah in Os Gimel addresses that question. And this is actually a major topic in other places in Yeridah as well. And it's not clear to me what the exact parameters are. Which is, the way it's quoted in when we learn is we say a suffix in Bikias doesn't count as a suffix. It comes up in Nida in the din of Ksamim. I'm trying to remember what's the case that it comes up in. So you know what a Kesem is? What's that? No, that would be qasem. I asked you I should have said to you, what's a ketem? Boaz knows what it is. Anybody who's married knows what a kesem is. A kesem is a stain. The halacha is when it comes to Hilchos Nida, in order for a woman to be a Nida Doraisa, she has to have some hargasha, some sensation of the blood. But we don't know exactly what that is. But if a woman just discovers a spot on clothing, it's called a kesem. Mid Doraisa, it's not an issue. It has to be Bifsara. The Mishnah has lots of dinim that deal with Tumas Ksamim. The Ravid says that it only applies to people who eat kachim. Unfortunately, we don't pass it like the Ravid. We assume it applies as regular Hilchos Nida. Now, there are certain kulos by Ksamim. So, for example, if it's on a colored garment, the kesem, it's tahar. If it's on a garment that's not makabel tuma, maybe like toilet paper, it's not, you know, or a clothing that's made of a synthetic material, it's tahar. Now, the Gemara. Now, sometimes you might not be sure whether it's blood or it's dye. Red dye. And the question is, it seva or is it dam? So the Mishnah tells you how to determine it. You know how you determine it? You have these seven spices, and you look spices. They are. I mean, I guess they are spices. They're what?
It tastes like anything, but it's just red.
So you take these. Spices were used sometimes as detergents. We're going to be better than spices, but I don't know what it is. And so you have to do these exact seven samamanim. That's the reason I'm using that term, because the Mishnah calls it sheva samamanim. You have to wash the garment in them in order, in a progressive order, and you have the seven samamanim. If the red remains there afterwards, we assume that it's seva ben sion, and it's tahora. And if it's not, if it washes out, we assume it's dam. So what do we do bisman hazeh? Could we not use it as a kulon? The problem is we don't know how to do the bedika. We don't know what all these things are. So I have a brilliant idea. We say that by ksamim, because tumas ksamim is only drabanon, safek and ksamim is lahakel. So why don't I say that all of our ksamim that are not a problem? Because maybe if we laundered them properly, it would be tseva and wouldn't be done. So why not? So the answer given is that a chisaron in bekias is not called a safek. The fact that we don't know how to check it doesn't make it a safek. Now, there is another din that comes up in that discussion, and this is what I don't know how to put together, is sometimes we say, if you don't know it, but someone else could determine it, that also is not considered a safek. Now, that doesn't apply by ksamim, because there's no one alive today who knows how to do the seven samamanim. So, but there is this notion that a safek and bekias of certain kinds is not count as a safek, which is why the Torah says in Oskim, I'll jump ahead for a moment, Ben Zion, v'kani mili, yeah, it probably should be afilu bidderabanan ain't told on the hakel. In other words, we said until now, what? Oh, mine has mem. Afilu midrabanan. Yeah, it's bidrabanan. See, I could work as a magias form. All right. It's fun to be magias form. You know why? Because if you don't like what it says, you can just, it's Tau Sofer and edit it. You know that in the Hakdama to the Sefer HaYashar, they talk about a cherem against magias form. It's in manuscripts of Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know if it was actually a cherem. Maybe it was a cherem. I'm not sure who made it. But he says, as much as my grandfather Rashi edited the things, my brother Rashbam did 10 times as many. He wasn't a big fan. He didn't like people editing manuscripts. They had to interpret the reading in front of you.
Like Dio Difficile or whatever, we just learned that with Rav Karmi. The harder reading.
Yes, I know what it means. I feel like I have a savant here who's just uttering Latin words. Okay? You have lectio facilior and epiciliar, which is impossible. Sometimes the easier reading is the correct one because the other one is ridiculous, obviously the mistake. Or sometimes the crazy one is the right one because no one would write it that way. Clearly, the easy version, somebody corrected it towards that. In which case, how do you know which one to apply? Shuda the dine, for those of you who know what that is. Okay. Fine. So that's what the Torah says, that if it's the fanenu, and you don't know how to be Mishayar, that's not called the suffix, so even by the Rabbanans it would be the Chumrah. I continue in Osbeis.
Okay.
Did you read Ibn Nisari B'Sheinu Min Rishvach Asu to speak the Reis of Chumrah? Fine. The Kasav Rashba, I'm sorry, go ahead. Now, this is a very, very not precisely formulated statement, and the Beis Yosef takes issue with this. Because read the Torah carefully. If you have mino and she'eno mino and nishbach, a mino that gets mixed into mino and eno mino and nishbach, we look at the emino mino as if it is not, and v'tolin lomar shemino hayarov v'nisbatel. What are we tolin? What do we light? What do we assume? If you read his words, they make no sense. What are we tolin? That the min was the robe, and therefore it's batel. Really? What should the Torah have quoted the Rashba saying, which is really what he does say? He should have said that if you know that it's a rove, then you're tolin. If the mino was more than the mino of Isser, then you're tolin that there might have been shishim. You can't be tola that mino was a rove. In order to reduce it to a drabanan, first you have to know that mino was a rove, and then you can be tolin that maybe there was shishim. So the Beis Yosef just claims that the Torah's formulation was a little bit inartful. Yeah, but if you're reading what he says, tolin lomar shemino hayarov v'nisbatel. That's not actually what the Rashba says, and that makes no sense. Ki hechi, now the comparison, damrinon, go ahead. Rabba olafu mevatlo leman de'islei. Right, that line was what Rabbi used to explain Rabbi Yehuda on the bottom of Tzadi, top of Tzadi and Beis, and the Rashba applies this here as well. So let's talk about this for a moment. Is this true? You have a marker, Ben Seal?
Yeah.
Right. I have some Mino here, Heter. I have Eno Mino of Heter. And then I have Mino of Issa. Okay. Now, let me take Rabbi Judah's case too. I have, well, it's the same case. I want to work on two different sets of things here. So now, let's talk about Rehuda's case. What happens? We have a mixture of Mino of Heter, Eno Mino of Heter, Mino of Isser. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says that we look at these three things together, and conceptually, we block this off. In other words, what if Mino of Heter weren't here? And if Mino of Heter weren't there, what would we do here? What would we say? Yosef, what would we say here if there were no Mino of Heter? For Rabbi Yehuda, Mino Mino of Batel. So we have Mino of Heter, Eno Mino of Heter, Mino of Isser. I remove conceptually the Mino of Heter. So what am I looking at now? Mino Mishino Mino. And I would say, if it's not Yosef Ham, it's Mino. Ah, but isn't Mino getting to Mino of Heter? So apparently we say, as I said, which we said a couple of days ago, it's not that the Mino of Isser is also the Mino of Heter, is that this doesn't have the capacity to levatal mino shalisser for Rabbi Yehuda, but the eno mino has the capacity to levatal if it's large enough, and that's what happens. But that was Rabbi Yehuda's case. Now, what was the case of the Rashba? Well, it's a little different here. What does the Rashba say? He says, well, in this case, you know that this is greater than that. And he says that what you do is you bracket out the Eno Mino. Now, if you didn't have Mino of Heter, what would be the problem of Mino of Isser and Eno Mino of Heter? What would the problem be? Let me formulate, before I ask you to answer that question, let me formulate this question a little differently. The Shach is going to say that the analogy makes no sense. He's going to argue that to be misalik the Mino works fine for Rabbi Yehuda. To be misalik the Eno Mino doesn't make sense according to our Psak. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda saying that min bimino is not batel, and I was saying that min b'shein amino tam k'ikar. If you hold like remaining tam in the Rashba, what's the difference between those two? I've given you already essentially the formulation.
Well, these things just from a drasha and saying that it doesn't have the capacity to work to overcome it, but you, like if you just ignore it, then the other thing has the amount to overcome it.
Okay, so say the same thing here. If you learn from a drasha the tam k'ikar, and therefore the eino mino may not have enough to overcome. We're not sure, by the way. There's a case where Mesuba. We know that there was more min that had to the min of Issa, but we don't know if you had shishim in all the stuff. So why can't we just ignore the eino mino of heter?
It's still about, it's about the chemistry, as you said, at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. In other words, the Shach says, just because I have mino of heter in here, doesn't mean that the mino of Issa isn't going to flavor the eino mino of heter. But this is not about, I'll call it, it's not a metaphysical discussion, that ain min levat the mino from Yehuda. This is, will the mino be no same time in the eino mino? Saying, rowan es eino mino ki'ilu eino, is a fantasy. It's a fantasy in the world of physical chemistry. Right? It's not like salik is mino for Rabbi Yehuda, where it's a metaphysical siluk. The problem is that mino, here, visar, could very well flavor the eino mino of heter. So the Shach says, the Rashba doesn't make any sense. The way the Beis Yosef quotes it, actually, the Mechaber quotes it. The Shach is going to propose an answer that even the Rashba never said that the eino mino is mutter. In other words, if you had these things, if you could sort out the eino mino somehow, and from the mino, the Rashba says, let's say these two substances could flavor one another, but I can separate them. So he says the Rashba would hold that this would be aser because it's really a safek, a min b'shein amino of tam kikar, but the mino part, since it was a rove, and it might have been shishim total, so that part is mutter. Now, it's a very difficult reading, frankly, because it doesn't appear from the base, from the Shach Rashba that he's really saying that half the tarovis is aser and half the tarovis is mutter. You can read the Shach. I don't remember if he has any kind of textual proofs from the Rashba, but I think I've seen the quotations in the Rashba. I don't think that it sounds like that. But that's the problem. This very fancy idea of salik esmino kilo eno, and the Rashba borrows now for his own purposes, right? We don't possibly agree with Huda. It's irrelevant. For Rabbi Huda, why would you want to be masalik mino? Why would we not want to be masalik mino? What would our agenda be? Have as much possible heter to be mevatel liyasur. But for Rabbi Huda, the only way to be mevatel liyasur is to be masalik mino. So Rashba here wants to say, oh, my way to solve the problem, so it won't be a sefer deraisa, is to be misalik she'eino mino. But what does that mean when you're talking about a physical phenomenon in Messina's time? That's the Shach's type. You know how often you get this, Shaila? I've never gotten one. Now, I'm not the Rebbe for sure, but I don't think you're going to get this one too often. But it's very interesting. Whatever, one could work further trying to figure out why? I don't think the Rashba holds like the Shach, but I thought the Shach's question is a really good question. And he just blames it on the Mechaber. He says the Shach, again, that the Rashba would only permit the consumption of the Mino of Heter, not of the She'eno Mino of Heter. That's what he says. Okay, fine. So then you read Os Gimel.
And you stopped halfway through.
And now the tour. The first guy to write on something is always the guy who gets attacked. The Torah writes, continue.
From the middle of Gimel?
With the word Hilkach.
Okay, Hilkach, Kechol, Af, Al, Pi, Shehu, Rabban, Sari, Shishin, Negev.
Okay, so I want to analyze this statement. And if how many of you have seen the Beis Yosef on this? Probably the two of you, right? No, you didn't see this. You were working on the Torah at the end of the sermon. Okay, and I want you to all figure out what the Beis Yosef's question on the Torah's formulation is. Right, the Torah just said what at the beginning of Os Gimel. You read it, Ben Zion. He said that if it's not that it's spilled out, but rather you're not capable of being Mishar. And by the way, what's the difference between it having spilled out versus you're not being capable of Mishar even though it's before you? Is that when it's spilled out, who is able to determine whether there was Shishim?
No one.
Whereas when it's the Fanenu, maybe you can't, maybe somebody else could. That's often the way it's presented. So he says that if you are not Baki to be Mishar something, even by a Sveika the Rabbanon, we don't say Lakula. We're not told Lahakim. And then he says, therefore, Kechal, even though it's the Rabbanon, right, the milk in an udder when you shech the cow is parv, midaraisa. Only Chala mid the Rabbanon in some cases. So he says that if you cook a chal with other meat, so it's not pasul b'chol midaraisa because chal hakal is only drabanan. But nonetheless, you have to be nitshishim keneged the entire chal. Why? Why do you need shishim keneged the entire chal? Why don't you have shishim only keneged the milk that came out of the chal? You don't know how much milk this came out, meaning it's a suffolk in Bikias. So the Torah said that whenever there's a suffolk in a chisaron in Bikias, so you can't count that as a suffolk. They're abundant, and therefore, when it comes to chal, since you don't know, you have to be mishar keneged the entire chal because you don't know how much milk came out. There's something very odd about the Torah. Beis Yosef points it out. And you should all be able to, now that I framed it for you, think about the question. What is the source? What is the source that if you have a chisaron in Bikias, that you can't treat it as a suffek even though it's drabanan? Maybe you can figure it out. Maybe it's not possible. Okay. The chal, the makar in the Rashba, that if you're a suffek in Bikias, that you can't be told a lahakel, is kechal. As the Gemara says, the iba mind in afik minei, minayadina. Now note, by the way, that the Gemara is talking about a case where nobody knows. It's a case where nobody has the Bikias, and still. So when we say that the kulna, the Rashba, is only by nishpach, but not when it's lefanena, but with chaser and Bikias, what's the makar for that? Kichal. So what's the problem with the Torah? The Torah presents it as a fact that when there's a suffik in Bikias, it's not called a suffik. And as an outgrowth of that, you can't be makel by chal. Adraba. You can't be makel by chal because you don't know how much came out. And from that we learn the principle that any time there's a suffik in Bikias, you don't count it as a suffik. That's what the Beis Yosef's question is. Right? The Torah put the cart before the horse. Okay. Fine. Continue.
Rashi Pirish, the mina lo batil klal, afilu be'elef. Mushaino mino, eno el drabanan, udi de, tolon hakel, in safi, mimi mushaino mino.
So Rashi says that mimi mushaino mino, firstly, he says there's no bitul by megabe mimi mino, so that we don't possibly like Rashi. Then Rashi says that mimi mushaino mino is only drabanan, tam ke ikr is only drabanan. We also don't straight up, there we don't reject Rashi as much, but we still don't pasuk in that way. According to Rashi, if you had a mixture of min mishen omino and it got spilled out, and you know there was a rove, but you know, or maybe you know there wasn't kazayis betoch techilas pras, I'm not sure which, but you don't know if there was shishim, so you can be told alahakel, because tam ki ikar is only the rabbana. Okay, and then, Adoni Avi Arasal. Okay, the Rush Paskin's time carries the rice. Fine. Okay. In the Beis Yosef here, and we've discussed this a little bit, about the question of how do you define mim amino, mim shen amino, whether you follow Tom or you follow Shem. So the Beis Yosef himself here quotes a discussion from the later Rishonim as to what is considered mimbimino, and whether you go basar shma or not, and he just quotes that you paskin, like the Agur that the Ramah quotes, you paskin that you go basar shma. So we mentioned last time, we mentioned a little bit back, what's the problem that you say go bas, that you say that to determine mimbimino you follow what it's called rather than what it tastes like? What's the problem with claiming that? What's the problem with claiming that new wine and old wine are mimbimino? And grapes and a new wine are min b'shein omino. I'm sorry, min b'mino because they have the same shame. They're called yayin. And saying that yayin, a new wine in grapes is considered min b'shein omino because one is called wine and one is called grapes. What's the problem with that, Alter?
Is it because it's learned from yayin nesach, which is
also the
versus...
No. No, the problem with it is that on what basis do we say that we're machmir by mim b'shein omino? That you require shishim midaraisa? Tam kikar. So how could you follow anything but tam? That's the shast. The Ramah quotes this din as the din. The Mechaber presents mim b'mino is batal b'rov minatara. Mim b'shein omino requires shishim. And therefore, he quotes the Rashba's Kula. And the Ramah comes along and says, ah, and for defining Mimbimino, you know what we use? Aslina Basar Shmel, like Rav against Abaye. So the Shach goes nuts. He says, what's the Ramah talking about? The whole reason why we're machim Rav Mimishen Omino to say Yichishim is because you might taste it, Tam Ki'ikar. How could you say that Aslina Basar Shmel when the whole issue is Tam Ki'ikar? If the two things taste the same but have a different shame, are you going to be able to taste the heter, the Isser and the heter? The answer is, of course not. So it's a fake of the Rabbanon. So of course that's Lina Basar Taima. So we explained in Shir, and it's what the Shach says, and this could fit technically in the Beis Yosef, that whenever you're talking about something that's Oser in more than Shishim, either Me'am Asayim or Kol Shehu, then you can talk about Azlina Basar Shema. But first you have to have Shishim to be Mevat Alatam. So with respect to Tam Ke'ikar, Shishim versus Rov Minat Torah Nishba, Mimimino is defined by Tom. When it comes to something that's Bakal only Vimea or Vimasayim or Osim Kulshu, and you already have Shishim, so the Tom is Bakal Minat Torah, then the only question is, what's the Shir Bittel? So there, we follow Rabba that as the Basa Shmo. So, okay. All right, Dalid. Thank you, Ben Sion. Tal? So it's not only a case when the Isser falls into the Heter and dissolves the Inichishim, Elafilu. Yeah, and that's learned from what... So if he says that if, even if you remove the actual extent, the mamashas of the Isser, if you didn't have shishim, then you're not allowed to... it's asr because you don't know how much came out. What's the makar for that? What's the makar in the Gemara? Kal. That's the natural sequence. Right? But it's from this that we learn, the Beis Yosef says, that Safek and Bekias by the Rabbanon doesn't count as a Safek. Okay. Okay, there's a lot here. They're not, they're important theory, it's very simple, but there's a lot which is packed in here. The first thing he says is, Vashel Bekteras Isser, which is Basioma. Now, if a kederas isser is not basioma and you cook in it, what's the din? If you go into your non-kosher relative's house and they haven't used their pots for 24 hours and you cook non-sharp food in there, what's the din of the food? It's mutter. Not mutter l'chatchila to cook in them normally, but it's mutter. Why? Because it's no sin tam of gam. Right? It gives a bad flavor. But, in this case, you're cooking an isser, bekderas isser, she basioma. Or you take a spoon that has Isser and you stick it in the heter. And anything similar to Basar B'chalav, how much do you need to be Mevatel? So Tzarach Shishim Neged Kol HaKedera and Keneged Kol Masha Tochav Mehakaf. What is, let's talk about the Kedera case. If you put heter in a Kedera and the Kedera is treif and it's a Benyomo, you need Shishim Keneged the walls of the Kedera. Now, is such a thing possible? What? The entire thing.
The walls of the pot? But that's thin. There's no volume.
So I have to tell you, Ben Sion, the Mechaber is going to write later in your Hilchas Taruvos, and I believe it's true, you'll almost never find a pot that has shishim in inside keneged the thickness of the walls. I love that. Look on your face. If a look... If a picture is worth 1,000 words, the look on your face is worth 10,000.
We have really thin pots now.
We have thinner pots, but even our pots, I don't think it's true. And their pots for sure
not. It's like cube-wise as the surface area goes up by the
the surface area goes up by the square, but the volume goes up by a cube.
So bottom line is that, now how would you determine the volume of the walls of the pot? The Rishonim will tell you that also, but you don't need to be Rishonim to know that. I could figure that on my own. Answer is two words. Water displacement. You take that pot, you put it in a pot full of water, bigger, you know, you put it under, you let the water float out. Either you catch that water or do you take now your thing out and you see how much water.
Shouldn't you do it the other way? Shouldn't you take water, put it in the pot, and then see how much gets absorbed and then pour it out and then subtract how much you had originally and how much you have now and see how much got absorbed into your pot? Because there's like some metal going on.
Whatever. So bottom line is that you measure the volume of the pot. So let's say you cook treif in this pot. Now you cook kosher. So in order to determine, ben yomo, in order to determine whether this bito, you have to figure out whether shishim, whether you have shishim, the food in the pot, connected the walls of the pot. Because we don't know how much the walls of the pot absorb. So they could be almost entirely yisur. Therefore, you have to be mishar connected that. You and I both know that the walls are not entirely yisur, and so do Chazal. But we don't know how much. And we don't know how much. We say, well, it can't be more than X, and therefore that's what we're going to use. Okay. That fits in with the same principle by the cow. You don't know how much milk came out of it, therefore it's awesome. Okay.
What? Is it a something ubiquitous?
Yes, that's why we don't rely upon it, even by theses of Darabanan. Correct. Yes.
The walls of the whole pot or just the part that's touching it?
I think Alpidin, it's the part where the food is coming in contact with. It's an issue that's going to be discussed later. I think it's in Hilchos Basar v'Challah. Right. In that context, we're going to learn of the very odd din, which we're machmir for, even though Metzias is not true, not in our pots for sure. The idea that if you have a hot thing on one side of the pot, like the liquid splashes on the outside of the pot, that it can percolate through to the inside of the pot. I think it was the Marami Rutenberg. It's not a minor, it's a major issue because I know the one tshuva I was shown by a student of mine who once worked at the OU, so they have their own tshuvas on file, which they don't publish. I don't think it's classified information. Had to do with it was using the fact that our kelim are in bolea as a sniff lahaka. And one of the issues was they had these tankers, I don't know if they were on ships, that transported oils, and you had a single wall between, you know, in other words, imagine you have a solid piece of metal, and then you carve out like two pots out of it or two tanks out of it. And then you put, you know, kosher oil in one, treifa oil in the other, and they're sitting there for more than 24 hours, and it's just one wall separating them, and kavush is kemavushal, and maybe it should aser one another. So one of the snifim they used lahakil there, if I remember correctly, was that our kelim are whole there. Right? But you can see the hypothetical problem that's being raised.
They were cooking with sponges, just like clear pots made out of sponges.
You know, you're a little bit of a skeptic and a cynic, but remember that we used to living in a world that we just think when our pots aren't bolea. That's because we don't use the same pots. We use pots that often are stainless steel or non-stick and so on. But you take a cast iron pot, and in order to use a cast iron pot, before you use it, you have to season it, which really means you're putting oil in there. And it's not that if you rub it with your finger, you know, after you've seasoned it and it's dry, your finger's not going to come off oily. But there is oil absorbed in that pot. If you take pottery that's not glazed, I'm still waiting to do the experiment. I think I still have it from last time I thought you were there. Actually, I ordered it from Amazon, but I never took it out. Really, I took it out of the box, but I never experimented it. We could do it this year. We'll do experiments. You cook in this cheres pot. Right? It's an earthenware pot with no, it's not glazed, and it will absorb. It will absorb. In fact, ever even notice? I don't know what's going on. Like if you take, just because I was taking a pot out of the dishwasher and a little bit of water spilled on the backside. The inside was a nonstick. And you kind of like, if you rub the water in, you see that a little water is getting absorbed on the surface, right? It dries up.
The rim of like a back of like a mug, on the underside of a mug, there's like a rim that's always like unfinished.
Unfinished. Right, so you can see your stuff gets absorbed. But I'm saying even in metal it happens. Stainless steel doesn't absorb. It's been designed to not absorb. So it's fun to play the skeptic. And yes, I think the Marami Rutenberg's homeroid had to do with a tipa that got splashed on the outside of a pot. And it happened. Was it negative H, not negative H? But so that seems to be a little bit wild. I mean, I don't think it goes. I don't think. I'm pretty sure the water, even without the nonstick coating, wouldn't go through my metal pot, even if we're sitting there a long time. But okay, so let's leave it at that. Now, what's interesting here is the following. He says, any part of the pot Or, Lavi, you asked, I think you asked, which level? If you stick the kaf in a spoon, you need shishim either keneged the entire kedera or keneged the entire part of the spoon which you stuck in. Which means, in principle, you only need the part of the pot that came in contact with the food that you're having. It's not mifapeya from the part of the pot that's above the liquid level. But he may be assuming in this case you fill the pot. So the entire pot is potentially getting in there. But the spoon, you know, you can see how far you stuck the spoon in. Right? It's like the dipstick that you test with. So you can see how far it was in the liquid. Okay, now he says it doesn't matter whether it's cheres, eitz, or mateches. Now that seems like a trivial or superfluous line. Why does he say that? You guys read this part of the Torah, right? You did. You got to the end.
Read the Torah, yeah.
Yes. Then were you bothered? Why does he tell you? You were not bothered because you've never learned your idea before. Why would he tell you that? In other words, if the svara is, you have to be mishayer, keneged anything that's in the safek, why would it matter whether it's earthenware, metal, or wood? So the answer is, the Torah is coming to exclude the sheet of the Ravid. The Ravid claims that the only time we say a safek in Bekiyas is not a safek, automatically, and we'll machmir as much as possible, is when you're dealing with a substance that will never become kosher. Like a kechal. But when you're dealing with, or a kli cheres, an earthenware vessel where you can't kosher. But if you're dealing with a kli eitz or a kli mateches where you're able to kosher it, so then the Ravid says, you know what you do when you cook food in a metal kli? And you're not sure, and you don't know how much issu is balua? You make an omed yofet. You make a best estimate. You make a best guess as to how much isser was absorbed in this metal pot or in this wooden pot, and that's what you use in terms of bittel. It seems like a strange shita. The Rashba finds certain things appealing about it, but it seems to be against the Gemara. Why does it seem to be against the Gemara?
Well, why is it that by the kal you b'shayar can negate the entire kal? What's the reason offered by the Gemara? Because eat the ma'idinafat mirei, minayadinan,
how do you know? Why is that issue any different than by a klei cheres than it is by a klei eitz or klei matchus? We don't know how much came out of it. If I can make a best guess when it comes to eitz and mateches, why can't I do the same thing by cheres? And why didn't we do the same thing by kal? So that's why the Rashba ultimately rejects the position of the Ravid, and the Torah is just quoting the Rashba's Maskana. He doesn't tell you why he's saying this. That's what you need the Beis Yosef to know. Ah, what was the sheet of the Ravid? If you, of course, had read the Rashba and the Torah Sabayis, which I didn't ask you to, I may have given you, I don't know if it's on the Maamar Kamos, that's another place that you would be able to see it. Okay, now we have Rabbeinu Peretz. What does Rabbeinu Peretz say? Go ahead, Tal. So Rabbeinu Peretz is sheet says that by metal, we say that the blios travel from even the parts that aren't in contact with the food. Why? Because cham miktaso cham kula. What do we call this principle in physics? Conductivity. In this case of heat. It's true. Metal conducts heat much better than many other things. And certain metals conduct heat even better than other metals. You know which metals conduct heat really? I don't know if heat maybe electricity very well. Expensive metals. Precious metals do it, but copper is good enough for wiring. You don't really have to use any silver or gold. Silver, I know, conducts heat much better than other metals. You know how I know? I'm having almost burned my hands on a silver soup spoon sitting inside hot soup. If you're one of these people who's like just married or getting married and you registered for stuff, and now all of a sudden you realize there's a difference, not just in value, between flatware, stainless steel flatware, and silver, and you're at your guest house and you want to know whether it's silver, so you have one of two choices to figure it out. You could be totally tactless, and you could just flip the spoon over and read what it says. Boaz, you never... What's that? Well, that's how you would find out if you were curious, but it's a little tacky to be doing that. The other way of doing it, I'm not suggesting you do this. I'm just suggesting that people, lots of people in the world, seem to be very curious about what other people have. Unfortunately, say in our community, there was a tzedakah organization that for many years would hold an open house. And you know where they always held the open house? When you know where they asked to host it? people who had done new construction. And do you know why? Because there are a lot of, no. Why don't you think before you talk? Because everybody wants to see, oh, what does their house look like? What does their kitchen, their new kitchen look like? That's what, sorry, you grew up in this community, but what can I tell you? That was explained to me. It wasn't my sphera. I had no idea. And I said, why? And someone said to me, no, that's why they do it that way. Because people are nosy. So they want to be able to see. So the other way to find out whether the spoon is really silver is to put it in the soup. And if you put it in the soup and leave it there, you might find that very quickly, much to your chagrin, that it is actually really sterling and it is not stainless steel. I learned this not because... I learned this at a stage before, I would say before I was married, I learned it by accident and not the pleasant way, and eating at a host's. And it turns out that their silverware was actually silver, and ouch. So anyway, the bottom line is Rabbeinu Peretz says that by metal you say cham, it's also cham kulo. The metals that he probably dealt with were not as conductive as silver is. It was probably iron or something like that. But yes, even iron will conduct heat. It just takes longer to get it hot. You also know that once you get it hot, if you ever use cast iron, do you guys have any cast iron bowls? Yeah, so when you have cast iron, it takes a long time to heat up, and it takes a long time to cool down. You got to be really careful with our regular pots. You know, firstly, you never wash cast iron that's been seasoned. Never use water on it. You wipe it out, and if you need to use a little salt, I've been muzhar about such a thing. But if you put, even if you would have put cold water on it, it would take a long time to cool it down. You take a regular most stainless steel cookware, it's hot, right? If you empty the contents, if you just run the cold water over it for a second or put a little cold water, it will cool down quickly. So anyway, so Rabbeinu Peretz says that if... what?
Wait, why not use water or rust?
It will affect the seasoning, I think. It might. I don't know about the rusting part, maybe also true. I think that's right. It is a rusting issue.
We never used it.
Probably just...
Is it seasoned yet? I get the Shaila, by the way.
How he displaces
the oil. I think rust, I can speak, I know someone who knows more about this than I do, from whom I take the instructions, I can check with her. But I think rust might have been an issue. But I get the Shaila, sometimes they come pre-seasoned, and the problem is the oil and the hashgacha question. So what you often need to do is you actually need to buy it unseasoned, or you need to hagalah to remove the seasoning. So maybe it doesn't, I don't know if the question is rust, and then re-season it. Anyway, so Rabbeinu Peretz says that cham itzaso cham kulo, that if you have a metal spoon and you stick it in to the hot food and the hot food, because the metal heats up, the blios travel levy even in the parts that are not inside. The other Rishonim disagree with Rabbeinu Peretz. They say yes, cham itzaso cham kulo is a principle of physics. It's true, the heat conducts, but the blios don't conduct. And I think we don't hold like, I believe we don't hold like Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay, fine. Umihu. So this was the Gemara on Sadi Zayin Amid Beis about Kisharin Misharin, Misharin Berota Vekipa over Kedera, and those who said Bikdera Atzma, and those who said Ramashabala Kedera. So this is what the Torah's point is, that we're Machmir. When you take an, why don't you say, if you say that I have a pot that's treif, and I put kosher food and I cook it, a menyomo, how much stuff is balua in the pot that I have to be mevatel? How much? The entire pot. So why don't I say the following? Let's say I have heter I put into a pot and a little bit iser into a pot. And I have 58 times the iser in the heter, but I don't have 60. Ah, but you know what? Inside the walls of the pot, mistama, from the previous time I cooked it, I had there, that heter can be mishkaif. The Torah says no. You only say this lakula, lachumra, not lakula. Why? Obviously, it's the same principle, which is that when you have a suffik in bekias, you don't say sveika drabban on lakula. So the fact that we assume that the entire pot is balua viser is because we don't know how to be mishar. So we'll machmir that way. And the fact that we say that we can't count anything in the walls of the pot when we cook iser v'heter and we want the walls of the pot, the stuff in the pot to mitzar, that's also the chumra that we don't do it because we're not sure. So you can't say safek as lakula. Cool. That's what the Torah says.
If you say if you've only used the pot once and you put iser into it, but
consume only half the volume of
Can water. Someone answer that question, please? Let's say you know that there was only two kazeis of iser that were used in the pot. Can you say that you never have to be mishan more than the kazeisim because it could? Because it or that either way. What's that?
You said the thing about the spoon and the butter. It was in the restaurant.
Yeah. What's the? I'm saying, guys, it's the next post on the tour. You guys should. What's that? No, not there. Next os. Look at the next os. Thank you. Alter, you read? Yeah. The Im Yadua. Cholav. It could be Cholav. So Lavi, if you know how much the Isser was, maybe it is. No, it's Cholav. Sure. So you know how much you stirred with this new spoon. I buy a new spoon. And I mix up a thing of butter with it, you know, 2 teaspoons of butter. And now I accidentally stick it into a fleshik pot. So acha kach biyoma niya bakeder shabasser ein tzarech elashishim levatel hakizayish shebala. It's only what it maximally could have absorbed. Aval, go ahead, Alter. Yeah, what does a kaf yishana here mean? It's misleading. It means literally an old spoon. But it's not really, it's irrelevant that it's old. Why is it relevant that it's old? How old is the spoon? Let's look here. How old is the spoon? Give me a time frame.
Is it within 24 hours? Did you say Ben Yoma? Is that
The point is that the spoon could be, it could be from the time Yeshua Ben Nun, but it's all relevant to everything taught the last 24 hours. So when he says kaf yishana, he means a kaf that was used more than the last time, but within 24 hours.
Right.
It could have been sparkling new early, an hour ago or 20 minutes ago.
It means used.
It means used, but it will only care about the 24-hour period.
Why does it say that?
What?
Why does it say that?
It's clear what it means. I mean, it doesn't.
It's something that's been used.
Yeah, it's an odd formulation, but nonetheless, I think it's obvious that he means that. That when we say Yeshana, it has to be something that was within that time period. Okay. Fine. Very quickly right now, I'll read the rest in a very short time. Some of this at least. Kachati zayin shel iser, shenisarev leheter tzorach shishim chatzai zesim heter levatla. What's the makor for this? The story of, Mar Baravashi, who wanted to be Mishayar with a chatzi zayis, how much? 30, and his father said, Lo tezalza bishur drabanan. You should be able to, at this point, look at the Torah and know what the source of every din he's quoted. Then, Beitza sheyesh by afroach, otipastam, shenespash lamacheros, tzerach shishim ve'echad lavatlo, lafi sheyesh beitza, skidolus uktanos, lafichach osifu beitza achas lahashos midosan. Well, lafichach, and this arva betasho, betela beshishim, kemoshari surim, ven this arva beyavesh de yisparah lakaman beyasos Hashem. So, this then also should be clear as well. This was the bottom of Tzadi Zainam and Beis. And the Gemara says it's a beitza sheish bo afroach, not a regular beitza. A regular beitza that has no afroach, what would the shear bittel be? It's not oser. If it's unpeeled, a beitza, why is it not oser? Because a beitza without an afroach is what? It's kemaya ba'alma. And it has no flavor. So that's where that beitza sefroach, o sheish bo tipastam. And where does this shear of 61 plus 1 come from? It's the Ramban sheet that we mentioned, that the Gemara had a suffix on Tzadi Chesam et Aleph, when it says, Beitza v'shisha v'yachas, is Beitza min aminyan or not? Is it 61 plus 1 or 60 plus 1? And the Amaro, we're never really sure. We're machmir. Why might it be 61 plus 1? So the Ramam, I think, said because we treat an egg like it has a little chashivas of a barrier, so we require one extra to be mevatel. But the Ramban, I believe, says no, because eggs come in different sizes, and therefore, you might want, in order to avoid having to measure each one, we just add on one egg, and that should cover you. Right, and therefore he says that if it gets scrambled up and mixed into a yotavshil, it's 60 kenega, the one egg, you don't need 61. Okay? And chal misbata b'chamisha metisha, ulamala ksafti b'hilchas chal, and hilchas basa b'chalav, it's 59 plus 1. The Rambam, on that basis, decides that all isurim drabanan, except for shuman hagid, only need 59, and the Rashba disagrees. And the Beis Yosef mentions that at the end of the Siman, we don't accept the Rambam's position. Okay. Chutz mi-chametz be-pesach kasher be-arte be-sefer rachayim v'yayinesach kasher yisbar be-zos Hashem v'chutz mi-tevo v'orlo truma she'en lanu ata esek b'hem. What he means by that last line, we do have tevel, but we do have orla bizvan hazeh, but he's basically, we're not dealing with that now. Yainesech is going to be dealt with right after our limud, after Simon Kuf Chafes, and chametz he dealt with in Or HaChaim. What's the bitul of chametz, by the way? What's the rule of bitul chametz? On Pesach, mim b'mino, mim b'sheino mino, is osir b'mashu, kodem ha-pesach. And we assume that once it's misbata before Pesach, it's not the chazer v'neira on Pesach, the iser of Masha. Okay. All right. So I'm going to stop our regular portion here. And I just wanted to say a few words.